Father, this time that you've given to us is about you. It's about you working in us and through us, challenging us, empowering us to live as you have prescribed, as you have set out, as you have mandated, as you have blessed us with, to live a life among each other, to be attentive to those around us, to, as Dean said in the last hour, to draw others even just a step closer to you with each interaction. Lord, I thank you for our time together. You know what we need to hear, and I pray that you would speak those words through Dean. I ask that you would bless his time here, that you would encourage him, empower him to speak the words that we need to hear from you, and move us to put feet to those words, not just to fill our minds with knowledge, but to give us instruction to work out in because of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, again, for your love and your mercy to us. Guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
We decided we'd hug
this. What, is that okay? Is that okay? Amen. We decided probably when I moved forward in for a hug. And he's like, what do I do now? I'm a friend of the church. I better hug. But we're talking about the risks and rewards of relationships. And so, yeah, in relationships, in hugging, there's a risk. And there are rewards to relationships. That's what we're talking about in session 5 here. If you have been journeying with us, you're making it to the finish line with session 5. If you haven't had an opportunity to do that, we certainly understand. This message stands alone as an encouragement for all of us. It's connected to the other messages, but it really is, this is my heart. I believe it's God's heart that we would be in authentic, even transparent relationships. Authenticity means that we're just being real with one another. Transparency takes it to the next level. Vulnerability takes it to the next level. It says, I need help. And I tell you, I've been walking with Jesus since I've been 15 years old. And I need help every day. I need friends. We've been talking about getting into side-by-side relationships for the purposes of mutual growth, mutual support and encouragement, and mutual accountability. And as many years as I've been walking with the Lord, I'm not above it. I need to be connected. We mentioned in our last Sunday school session that a person without a connection is an accident on the way to happen. Don't be that person. There is an enemy. And I know you've been studying spiritual warfare. There's an enemy who wants to take us out. And that's why we need one another. The enemy looks for stragglers, disconnected ones on the outskirts. The enemy's having a field day in this time of COVID, the coronavirus. My heart goes out especially to those who are older and in assisted living situations. In our ministry at our church, Calvary Worship Center, I have the privilege of being director of biblical counseling and discipleship. And I like that because biblical counseling helps people get over speed bumps in their discipleship journey. So the discipleship process can be stalled because they have a challenge. And so we in our biblical counseling area help people through that challenge biblically, scripturally, dealing with the heart, moving through that so that they could grow, as Pastor Craig said, one step closer to Christ. And in that ministry, we started something that keys off of a Bible verse. I won't go into detail, but it talks about comforting others, upholding the weak among you. So we call it the Comfort and Uphold Initiative, that we're looking at people who are older in our congregation and we're giving them all a call and just touching base with them and asking if they would want to call on a regular basis. And some of them are in assisted living facilities, and they are like, "You're kidding me. I would long for somebody to connect with me on a regular basis." And others are like, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine." Well, good. Some are fine, and some are in need. Sometimes we don't know if we don't ask. And then getting back to our topic here of the importance of taking time to make friendships and maintain friendships. Yes, there are risks, but the rewards are greater. How many friends do you have? Think about that for a moment. How many truly deep friends do you have? Patrick Morley's book, The Man in the Mirror, he says that most men can count on one hand and maybe even a couple fingers how many friends they truly have that you could call at any time, day or night. 2:30, I need to make a phone call. Who are you going to call? How many friends do you have? We need to take time to make friends. In his book, Fully Alive, Ken Davis talks about the difference between friends and fans. And maybe we have a lot more fans than we have friends. He said, "Several years ago, I came to the sad realization that I had almost no friends. I had thousands of fans. I had a successful career. I had lots of stuff, but I had no real friends. I was a nomad. I didn't herd goats or pitch tents in the desert, but I walked through the desert of countless audiences, herding a dog and pony. I never pitched my tent anywhere. I had people all around me, and I was still alone. I remember telling my wife, Diane, that I was afraid that when I died, she wouldn't be able to find six people who were willing to carry the box I would be buried in. I had nightmares of her pulling..." He's a comedian. "So I had nightmares of her pulling the casket down the church steps alone, thump, 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 and then dragging it to where the big black SUV waited." So this was his moment of realization that he didn't have as many friends. He had a whole lot of fans. Do we have friends? We might have a Facebook page that says we've got a whole lot of, are they friends? Can you call them anytime, day or night? Ken Davis says, making friends requires taking risks. And we'll talk about the risks of friendship and the rewards of friendship. But the risks, he says, it's a risk to trust someone with who you really are. It's a risk to reveal your heart. It's a risk to be accountable and to hold someone accountable and to debate the issues that you feel strongly about. It's a risk. Some of you may remember Simon and Garfunkel, the song "I Am a Rock." But listen to it as poetry, listen to it as the sincere longing of a heart to have friends, but to realize, oh, there's risks in friendship. Paul Simon wrote, "A winter's day in a deep and dark December, I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I'm a rock. I'm an island. Oh, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I'm an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I'm an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I'm shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one, and no one touches me. I'm a rock. I'm an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries." That's not what we are called to. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We'll be taking a closer look at verses 9 through 12. And this ties in for those of us who have been here in the series. I've always started with an opening paragraph. This one says, "Each Christ follower here can be a disciple who makes a disciple as we practice five priorities involved in walking side by side through everyday discipling." So in this session, we'll see why it's important to take time out to make and nurture friendships. Yes, there are risks, but as we will see, the rewards far outweigh any risk. The rewards far outweigh any risk. So once again, Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you say your word will never return void. It will accomplish the purposes that you sent it out to do. And that's what I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that as we get into your word, you will bless it. You will bring it home to each of our hearts. You will give each one of us a takeaway. Yes, on this final session of five sessions together, but maybe, Lord, this is the session that somebody needs to hear right now. Maybe even a heart crying out for friendship. Oh, Lord, bring it home to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we are there in Ecclesiastes 4, we'll take a look at 9 through 12. We'll talk about four rewards. Yes, there are risks. We talked about those, but four rewards of friendship and why we need to take time to make friends. First of all, I'll remind you that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, we have already been encouraged by Solomon in his search for his meaning of life. That's what I think of Ecclesiastes is to be. He's just kind of searching for life's meaning. In verse 11, he said, "He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of that God does from beginning to end." But God has set eternity in the hearts of all of us. God has made us for relationships with him. If we are trying to fill that God-shaped void with anything or anyone other than him, it ain't gonna work. Only God could fill that void in our hearts. We are meant for relationship with him. So that's a given. That's a given. And then continuing on in our conversation about why we need to walk side by side, how God could use us to be a disciple who makes disciples, we are going to make this commitment here, a commitment to invest in personal relationships, because we know that God is in it. And so we turn to the scripture. We turn to Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 through 12. Two are better than one. And I'm reading in the New King James Version, so it may be a little bit different than the version you have. Forgive me for that. It's the main Bible we use in our church. And it's also in big type, so I could read it better. So anyway, so bear with me, please. But read along from your translation. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So let's take a closer look at the four rewards, despite the risks, of why we need to take time to make friends. And the first one we see is reflected. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Well, in our church, we're going through the book of Acts, so I was thinking as I was preparing this message, just how relevant the book of Acts is to this conversation. And especially as you think of two are better than one, they get a better return on their labor. Think about Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Barnabas, who knew about this man named Saul, who had a sudden transformation. And Saul was off to the side. Saul was doing business with the Lord. Saul was growing. But the Lord told Barnabas, go and find Saul and bring him to the church at Antioch. What would have happened? What would have happened if Barnabas hadn't been a faithful friend to find and even risk this guy who was trying to stomp out the way, the truth, the church, stomp out any mention of Jesus, and he has a sudden transformation. But is the transformation really, really real? So Barnabas goes out, and you'll find this in Acts chapter 11 and 19 through 26, and we won't go there. I'll mention some scriptures just so you know it's biblically based, it's grounded here. But what you need to know, two are better than one. They get a better return on their labor. So Barnabas went to find Saul and to bring him in the church at Antioch. And he became a leader in the church at Antioch. And there came a time where the Lord said, in Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3, set aside Barnabas and Saul. That's how it was referred to. That's how the Holy Spirit referred to. He referred to the two of them at the time. Barnabas was first, and Saul, before he became Paul, was mentioned second. Set aside them for a special mission that I have for them. And that began Paul's missionary journey. And somewhere along the way, it's interesting as you read it, it was set aside Barnabas and Saul, and then it became Barnabas and Paul, and then it became Paul and Barnabas. Perhaps because Paul, I could imagine, was a little upfront, a little sometimes direct in your face for the Lord. in his ministry, but he was so zealous for the Lord. Two are better than one. They get a better return on their labor. When I think about our conversation of the importance of walking side by side, having friends, always being in this type of a friendship, I think of a group of guys. There were about five of them I walked alongside. They were solid in their faith. If you were here during Sunday school hour, you heard that there are people who are on their way to knowing Christ. There are some who are growing in Christ. There are some who are showing Christ, and some are, who are going and making disciples. Well, these were kind of stuck on grow. They're growing, but they weren't showing and going and making disciples. So I walked alongside of this small group and invested in them, took them through some of the resources we've been talking about over these last days. And they got it, and it's great. Now, let's go make disciples. And they didn't go anywhere. Let's go make disciples. Go make. They didn't go anywhere. It's like, why aren't you going anywhere? Well, we kind of think we could do some things together that we can't do separately. And I said, okay, we could hang together. That's okay. But we all have to be in one-to-one, side-by-side relationships, okay? All of us need to have personal ministry. But I'm willing to hang out with you guys and find out what God wants to do with us together. And part of it is creating materials, some of the materials that you have in your packet, if you have this, some of the materials that are out on the table. Like I said in the Sunday school hour, if there are stacks of materials on the table out there, that means that I want you to take at least one. If it's for men, the strength book, take two, because by faith, I would love to see you make that commitment that I am going to take a risk and make a friend and take that friendship to the next level and go deeper in Christ by going through this resource in a one-to-one, life-to-life, side-by-side relationship. Anyway, so we committed to being there in personal ministry and to spur one another on toward that ministry in the spirit of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. But also we found that God could use us better together. So we started calling ourselves like-minded, like-hearted people. And then we started calling ourselves Make a Mark Ministries. And I'll tell you why when we move beyond the first reason why it's important for us to take time to make friends, and that's two are better than one, they get a better return on their labor. Let's go to the second reason we see reflected there, and it's in verse 10. For if they fall down, one is there to lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. We call ourselves Make a Mark Ministries, this group of guys. We're just a group of guys who hang out, support, encourage one another. But we call ourselves Make a Mark Ministries in light of the fact that when Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey, do you remember that they took John Mark with them? John Mark was Barnabas's cousin, a young man, took him on the missionary journey. And as they're going on the missionary journey, things got a bit tough. And John Mark decided to bow out. Things are too tough. If you're following along, that's in Acts chapter 13, 4 through 5, and then verse 13. You know that Mark goes home. It's too tough. He returns. And then, once the first missionary journey is concluded and it's time for the second missionary journey, Barnabas says, hey, let's go follow up. That's good. Let's bring John Mark. You know, he was fun. And Paul says, no, I'm done with him. I don't know. He abandoned us. And so Barnabas, though, he stuck with John Mark. And you see that in Acts 15, 36 through 41. He stuck with John Mark. And tradition holds that this is the same Mark who came alongside the Apostle Peter to talk about his remembrances of walking with Jesus and therefore was used of God to create, to write with the Holy Spirit's empowering, the Gospel of Mark. If Barnabas didn't stick with Mark, God would work it out, right? We would have Peter's remembrances. But at the end of Paul's life, he said things like, Mark, by the way, he's useful for us in ministry. He's a good man. So two are better than one. They get a better return on their labor. But if one falls down, the other is there to pick him up. And I tell you, I've been in that experience so many times as I've walked in these one-to-one, life-to-life, side-by-side relationships where I was so grateful that I had a friend on the other side who would pick me up. And I'm so grateful to be that friend. Right now I'm walking alongside a young man named Jeremy. And Jeremy has had some trouble with the law in the past, and he's on probation. And we haven't delved into that deeply, but I thought, Jeremy, he's such an interesting guy. He's so interested, in getting to know the Lord. I'll just say, hey, Jeremy, we should have coffee and get to know one another a little bit better. And I mentioned this earlier in our time together. Jeremy said, so when are we going to do that? Jeremy was eager to do that. And in walking alongside of him, I found out he had not been a Christian longer than 2 years. He was still relatively new in the faith. I thought he was more seasoned in the faith. But he was a man who was falling down. His marriage is in crisis. Found out these things as I started to walk alongside of him in side by side. But I told him, Jeremy, this has to be mutual. We need to be there for one another. So I'm going to pray for you and you're praying for me, right? If this isn't mutual, I'm not there, because I introduced him to side by side. He said, even though we're about in lesson 10 or 12 of 30 discipleship exercises, one of the resources I use in walking alongside other people, even though we're there, he said he's already using the resource in different family members' lives. But anyway, we just need somebody to be there, because I don't know when I'm going to be the one in the pit who needs a helping hand. Jeremy, well, he's glad that he has a friend now who, regardless of the challenges that he's going through, will walk with him during these tough times and seek to get into God's Word and see what God's Word has to say about the situation and then grow. A third characteristic, about a third benefit, if you will, of friendship is reflected in verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You know, we see that in Paul's missionary journey. He went out on second missionary journey with Silas. He picked up Timothy along the way. He was always picking up people and investing in people. And in Acts chapter 14, that's when he was stoned as if to death. And he was with his friends. We never know when life's challenges are going to hit us. In Acts chapter 16, that's when Paul and Silas were in Philippi. And I think you're studying Philippians, and so you probably have bumped into this recently, that there in the jail. It's midnight. They're singing hymns because they're probably spurring one another on in the midst of that challenging time. Thank you. Okay. So anyway, they're probably spurring one another on in the midst of that challenging time. There is a TV show called I Shouldn't Be Alive, and they tell stories about people who shouldn't be alive, and people watch this stuff. And I found myself, it was a cable show, passing by, saw this, and it caught my attention because it was a father and son who did a camping overnight, and I was thinking of my own son and a camping overnight where we did. And so it was similar. It started snowing, and I remember with my son, it started snowing, and we thought we better head home, and we headed home, and it was snowing, got deeper and deeper, and we were praying out loud, Lord, help us. But this father and son, they had gone out of their cabin, and the storm was so fierce that it was a whiteout. They couldn't see how to get back to their cabin, and so they stayed out all night. They shouldn't be alive. But how did they stay alive? They stayed alive by cuddling closely together and staying warm together. And both made it through that cold, cold night. Well, we need to take time to make friends because sometimes it's a cold, cold, cold night for each one of us. I remember it was actually the middle of the day and I was having lunch with my side-by-side partner, Bob. I was really investing in Bob's life. He had initially come to me saying, I'm so dry in the faith. Hey, well, let's walk side by side. It's a relationship where we grow together, but we're there for one another to support and encourage and hold one another accountable. Well, it was in the midst of a side-by-side conversation with Bob that I got the worst call I ever received. And it's my dad had a heart attack, and it was fatal. And in the midst of that, God had orchestrated on that very cold, cold, cold moment that Bob was there. And we hugged and didn't stop hugging. I was so grateful that God had led me to take time to make friends. Despite the risks, the reward is there, like Scripture says. So you get a better return on your labor. And if one falls into the pit, the other's there. Do you have somebody, if you fall in the pit, the other's there. And then on those cold, cold, cold nights, is somebody there? Or are you there for somebody on a cold, cold, cold night? And then finally, there's a fourth reason, two are better than one, and why we want to take time to make friends. And that is in verse 12, the first part of it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Two can withstand him. I think of, once again, Paul and Silas in prison. You know, times are tough, but they're singing hymns. They're back to back. And as you know, there's an earthquake that happens, and the jailer's concerned that all the doors to the prison are open and now all the prisoners are going to escape. But Paul and Silas are there saying, hey, don't worry, it's all good, it's all covered. And that prompted the Philippian jailer, as you know, to say, What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household, because men, you have a spiritual responsibility of taking the head, the lead as a spiritual leader in your home. And I believe that's what was being reflected there, is take the spiritual leadership. When you take the spiritual leadership in your home, you will see the gospel making a difference in the lives of your family and beyond your family, your community, and beyond your community to your church. You'll see the gospel just making a difference as you take time to make friends and see people come to know the Lord and grow deeply in the Lord and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And then you see spiritual multiplication. But I also think of my neighbor Brett. My neighbor Brett was, on day one I was helping him move in. I saw that he and his wife were trying to unpack a trailer, and they had a refrigerator that had a sticker on it that said, "Jesus Saves." And I said, "Hey, this is so cool. You have a Christian refrigerator." And it started a conversation with him. And he knocked on my door later that day, and he said, "Now I know why God put me next door to you, because I need somebody to help me in my spiritual journey." He said he was struggling with victory in his thought life, and he thought that maybe a friend like me could be of some assistance to him. I shared with him a prayer I had written down when I was having my own deep struggles with my thoughts and lack of victory. And it was praying through the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. In fact, as I wrestled with God about the lack of victory in my life, I sensed that God was saying, the thing is, you're not taking the spiritual battle seriously. So I studied that. I wrote out a little prayer, so I emailed it to my neighbor and said, "Well, this is a prayer I pray. You know, it's not magical. It's not special. It's just my attempt to pray in light of the spiritual battle. And, you know, maybe it would be of some encouragement to you." Over the next several days, he says, "I've been praying that prayer, and I'm having victory in my thoughts." And so at the very end of your packet of material, if you do have a packet of material, I have a one-pager called Spiritual Warfare Prayers. It's just an encouragement for us to live in light of the spiritual battle. I did some further study. But at the bottom of that page, there's makeamark.net. And my friends and I, two are better than one, they get a better return on their labor, they write stuff. We have written a series of these one-pagers, and there is a one-pager there called Praying on the Full Armor of God. And you could download that if that's something that you find would be of value to you. But let me close with this. Let me close with this. Of the latter part of 12, so we've talked about why it's important, despite those risks, you know, to see how God rewards such friendships as the side-by-side friendships that we've been talking about yesterday and today. I'll start from verse 12 again. "Though one may be overpowered by another, two could withstand him," and again, two in the midst of a spiritual battle, they're back to back, they could withstand better together. "And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, in conclusion, I'd like you to think about what we've been talking about, or if you've not been here, think about this. Take time to make one-to-one, life-to-life, side-by-side relationships. You get these four rewards, and you also get a cord of three strands. What's the cord of three strands? The first strand is my friend. The second strand is me. And the third strand is God in our midst. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into Scripture and to be reminded that we're made for relationship with you. And that's most important. If there's anyone here who doesn't have a relationship with you, once again, Lord, we're grateful that you so loved the world. You sent your one and only Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of what Paul said. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So Lord, thank you for that opportunity. Thank you that if there's anyone here, he or she can call on you right now. But also thank you for this reminder that we're made for relationships. You bless relationships for these four reasons and so much more. We thank you that in every one-to-one, life-to-life, side-by-side relationship is the cord of three strands. You're right there in our midst. Where two or more are gathered together, there I am with them in a special, unique, wonderful, blessed way. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessings that you give to us. And Lord, use us to be a blessing to everyone around us, in our family, in our workplace, in our community, in right here in our home church. In Jesus' name, amen.